the Christian tradition of meditation. This morning I spoke about the nature of contemplation. This afternoon I'd like to speak about the tradition of contemplation. It's important to understand that we all meditate within a tradition, and all traditions belong to one great tradition of humanity. All our traditions, we could say, are connected. They have a root tradition. But that root tradition is held in a prehistorical silence, in a very primeval awakening to our human meaning and purpose. As history unfolded and civilizations and cultures developed, so did different religions, each one of them giving birth to unique insights and perceptions about this silent mystery. And common to all these traditions is the existence of a practice of silence that takes us beyond words, that takes us from the mind to the heart, through the way of pure attention and the way of pure being, meditation. The word tradition is a dynamic word. It doesn't refer to a museum or to a set of memories or to a looking back. A tradition is actually an active transmission from person to person in a dynamic way of an experience or a capacity or an insight. John Maine, the founder of our community and one of the great figures in the recovery of the Christian tradition of meditation in our time, John Maine said that every time we meditate, we enter into a tradition. Every time we meditate, we are in this great living tradition. It's wonderful to be here with Mother Mangalam, because John Maine was first introduced to meditation. He was a practicing Catholic when he was in the diplomatic service in Malaya in the 1950s, met Swami Satyananda, the founder of the Pure Life Society, of which Mother Mangalam is now the president. The meeting was formal, professional meeting, but in the course of that meeting, he became aware that he was in the presence of a deeply spiritual man, a man who was not only committed to the relief of suffering through the Pure Life Society and the reconciliation of divisions within the troubled society of Malaya at that time, but also a human being of profound spiritual wisdom. And as John Maine himself was a deeply religious person, they began to fall into conversation about spiritual life, about prayer, and eventually they shared with each other their understanding of prayer. And it was at that moment that John Maine was introduced to the prayer of the heart, or meditation. And he said to Swami Satyananda, "Could you teach me as a Christian to meditate?" And the Swami said, "Well, of course, meditation will make you a better Christian." And he said, "Well, I can only teach you to meditate, though, if you're serious about it." And John Maine said, "What do you mean by serious?" And he said, "Well, by serious, I mean that you do it. And I suggest that you meditate every day, morning, before you go to work, and in the evening, at the end of the day's work. And integrate that into your other kinds of prayer. And then once a week, if you wish, you can come back and meditate with me. We'll meditate together, and if you have any questions, we can discuss them." And so for about 2 years before he returned to Europe, he became professor of law at Trinity College in Dublin, John Maine went every week, meditating twice a day. Once a week he would go and meditate with Swami Satyananda, his teacher. And he continued to practice his other forms of prayer, and I'd like to speak a little bit about these other forms of prayer also today, because they are part of our tradition as well. So John Maine returned to Europe, became a professor of law, taught at Trinity College in Dublin for a number of years, and then became a Benedictine monk in London. And when he was talking with his novice master about his personal prayer, soon after he had taken the habit, he described this way of meditation, and he was looking forward to talking about it with someone who would understand it, because at that time meditation was certainly not well known in the West, and in the Christian world, the contemplative tradition had become not completely lost, but very marginalized. And so he was disappointed when he was told by his novice master that this was not a Christian way of prayer and that he should give it up. In those days, monks were very obedient. Although it was a very difficult decision for him to take, he gave up his practice of meditation. And he says, many years later, when he was writing about this time of his life, he said it was a very painful moment because he went into a kind of spiritual desert. Although he was continuing to pray, of course, in other ways, at the divine office, the regular times of prayer, the 7 times a day in which he prayed in the monastery, the celebration of the Eucharist, the reading of Scripture, other forms of prayer were enriching him and nourishing him. But this prayer of the heart that he had begun to learn in the East here was missing. But then some years later, when he was at a very busy period in his monastic life, he was headmaster of a Benedictine school in Washington. He was raising money for the school. He was dealing with problems in the school. A young student came to visit who had just come from a tour of Asia, a young Catholic student. And he said, I've been around the Buddhist temples and the ashrams of Asia and the mosques. I've learnt about meditation in all of these different places. He said, but I've come home now, and he said, I go to my parish church and nobody speaks about meditation. Nobody seems to be practicing meditation. And if I meet people who meditate, it's Catholics or Christians who have to go to another tradition to learn. So he said, do we not really have some teaching on meditation that I can follow? And John Mayne was struck by this question and these words, and it was at a time in the late 60s when a lot of people were asking those questions about their Christian faith. He went back to his own roots. John Mayne went back to study the teachings of the early Christian fathers, the Christian monks, the desert fathers, and went on the trail, led by the Spirit, back to the roots of his own spiritual tradition. In the writings of John Cassian, who distilled the wisdom of the Desert Fathers and brought it to the Western Church, John Mayne found 2 great conferences on prayer, dating from the early 5th century. And in the 9th conference, Cassian speaks about the many forms of prayer in the Christian understanding. And I think every one of our traditions could list different aspects of prayer or different aspects of meditation. So this is what Cassian does in his 1st conference. And it's a beautiful description of the multiplicity of forms of prayer and yet their essential unity. I often use the symbol of the wheel of prayer, and the different spokes of the wheel are like the different forms of prayer. We have devotional prayer. We have liturgical prayer or ritual prayer. We have forms of mental prayer or petition or intercession. We have many different schools of different kinds of spirituality. So there's a great richness of forms of prayer. I think today many people who don't even think of themselves as religious find forms of prayer in jogging or in walking in nature or in art or music. And prayer really is any art of attention that makes you more present to yourself and to the mystery that you are part of. So these spokes of the wheel are like the different forms of prayer, but where do they meet? They meet in the hub of the wheel, in the center of the wheel. And what do we find in the center of a wheel? We've all come here probably today on wheels. We wouldn't have been able to drive here if the center of the wheel had not been still, if the axle of the car or the vehicle had not been solid, so that the wheel can turn around it. So at the center of a wheel, we find this dynamic stillness, which is the source of the motion and the activity of our lives. The art of a spiritual life is to balance your contemplative and your active dimensions. And one of the tragedies and one of the diseases of our modern culture is that we have lost this art of keeping the balance, of keeping the harmony between our contemplative and active dimensions. And when that harmony is lost, we begin to experience stress. We begin to experience a sense of disconnection, a sense of loneliness. So we find this stillness at the center of every wheel of prayer. But if we were to try to describe that stillness more specifically, every one of our traditions would have different terms. As a Christian, it seems to me that at the center of this wheel of prayer, we find the mind of Christ. We find the person of Christ praying at the center. And his prayer is not words or thoughts. His prayer is the pure worship, what he calls worship in spirit and in truth, his pure worship of God, his Father. And it is this prayer of the Spirit, in the Christian understanding, that pours out of him into the human heart, into every human heart. The Spirit of Christ universally has entered and touched the human heart in a non-sectarian way. So that's a perspective, my perspective, on what we find in the hub of the wheel of prayer, which is to say also in our own human hub, our own heart. We find the Spirit of God praying in us, deeper than words, as St. Paul says. So here we have an understanding of prayer that is both universal, but has very specific denominational differences according to the different traditions. But we all belong to a great tradition, and within that great tradition, we all need to find our own tradition.